بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أسأل الله تعالى أن يوفقنا لما يحب ويرضى، وأن ينفعنا بما علمنا، وعلمنا ما ينفعنا، وزدنا علما كثيرا وفقها في الدين. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. May Allah reward you inshaAllah for coming to the halaqah of knowledge and increase you much in beneficial knowledge inshaAllah ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, we were reading from the book of marriage, Kitab al-Nikah, in the book Bulugh al-Maram min Adillat al-Ahkam by Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani. And today we have a new hadith inshaAllah ta'ala. And I'll read the hadith inshaAllah ta'ala, and then we'll go over the translation and the meaning of it inshaAllah. وعن أنس بن مالك رضي الله تعالى عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حمد الله وأثنى عليه وقال لكني أنا أصلي وأنام وأصوم وأفطر وأتزوج النساء، فمن رغب عن سنتي فليس مني. متفق عليه. This hadith was narrated by Anas ibn Malik, may Allah be pleased with him, who said that the Prophet ﷺ, he praised Allah and exalted him, and then said, as for me, I pray and I sleep and I fast and I break my fast, and I marry women. Whoever turns away from my sunnah is not from me. Hadith is agreed upon by both Bukhari and Muslim. So here, respected brothers in Islam, we have a story behind this hadith. This hadith is regarding when a group of three men came to the house of the Prophet ﷺ, and they wanted to ask the Prophet ﷺ about his ibadat in the home. They wanted to find out how did the Prophet ﷺ worship in his house, so that they could emulate him or find out more about what he did, because what he did in his house people did not know. And so they wanted to know, what does he do at home? Does he pray all night? Is he always fasting? How does he deal with worship at home? And so they came to the house of the Prophet ﷺ, and he wasn't home, so they asked Aisha radiallahu anha. They said, what does the Prophet ﷺ do at home? What are the extra acts of ibadah that he does? And so Aisha, she said, the Prophet ﷺ, he prays part of the night and he sleeps at night as well, and he fasts some days and he breaks his fast on some other days. And she mentioned that he didn't pray the whole night, or he didn't fast every day but only some days. So as if these three Sahabi, they felt that they were more deficient than the Prophet ﷺ and they needed to do more than his sunnah. They felt that his sunnah, because his sins were all forgiven already, so his sunnah of praying only part of the night and sleeping the other part of the night would not be enough for them. Fasting some days and not fasting the other days would not be enough for them. So what did they say? When they heard what Aisha said, the first one, he said, as for me, I will pray the whole night and never sleep. The second one, he said, as for me, I will fast every day and never break my fast. And the third one, he said, I will never get married. I am not going to get married. I'm going to always spend my time devoted to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As if they thought that the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ was not enough for them. It was not sufficient for them. So when they said these statements, the news of it reached the Prophet ﷺ. Aisha, she told Rasulullah ﷺ what had happened. These three men came to your house asking about your worship, what you do at home, and when they were told what you did, they said, we're going to do more than that. It's not enough for us. And one said he was fast the whole all the days, one said he would pray the whole night, one said he would not marry women. And in one narration, one of them said, "I'll never eat meat." There was a person, he said, "I'm never going to eat meat." So the Prophet ﷺ, when he heard this, he became very angry. Very, very angry. And he became angry when the religion of Allah was violated. He didn't get angry for his own personal reasons, but when he felt that the religion of Allah was being violated, and especially he became angry when he felt that people were being extreme in religion. When they were going to extremes, he would become upset. So he called for his minbar to be brought out, and then he ascended the minbar, and whenever he had an important announcement to make, he would ascend the minbar and praise Allah in order to show the importance of what he was going to say. And so then he got up on the minbar after praising Allah, then he said, "What is wrong with people who say, Amma ana, amma ana. As for me, I'm going to do this worship. I'm going to do more than what the Prophet ﷺ did. What is wrong with these people who are saying, as for me, I'm going to pray the whole night. As for me, I'm going to fast all the time. As for me, I'm going to never get married. What is wrong with the people? Man raghiba an sunnati falaysa minni." He said, I am the most pious of you. I have more taqwa of Allah than any of you. I have more khushu'ah, more humbleness to Allah than any of you. But as for me, I sleep part of the night and I pray part of the night. Nobody can have more taqwa than Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He was telling them, I am the most pious of you, but look what I do. I sleep part of the night and I pray part of the night. I fast some days and I break fast some days. And I marry women. I get married. And yet he's the most pious. He's telling them, I have the most taqwa. Nobody can have, can anybody have more taqwa than Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Nobody can reach a higher level than him. So then he said, I do these things and I eat meat in one narration. And then he said, whoever turns away from my sunnah, then they are not from me. Whoever turns away from my sunnah, then they are not from me. So the hadith here is actually a part, a short part of a longer narration where the Prophet ﷺ, he was responding to those Sahabi who thought that his worship was not enough for them. And the ulama here, they point out from this hadith that a person who goes to extremes in religion will end up being overwhelmed by the deen, by overwhelming by his religious practice. And that the best way is the way the Prophet ﷺ, which was always the balanced way. It was the middle path, the middle way, between two extremes. And so people who overburden themselves with the deen, as the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever overburdens himself with the deen, or whoever goes to extremes in the deen, will not be able to bear it, will not be able to hold or practice the deen if they go to an extreme. And he said, "Halaka al-mutanatti'un." Destroyed are those who are extreme. They go to extremes beyond what they can bear. The sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ was the middle path, the best way. And we have another hadith which talks about the two extremes. We have the hadith of the Bedouin who came to the Prophet ﷺ and he said, "O Muhammad, what is required upon me?" He said, "The five prayers. And to stay away from what is haram and do what is obliged." He said, "That's it? No more than the five prayers?" And the Prophet ﷺ said, "Yes." He said, "I will do that and nothing more." And so this hadith, as scholars point out, is a hadith that shows the bare minimum of what a Muslim needs to do for his Islam to be accepted. And in the narration he said, he'll be successful if he's truthful. So there's the bare minimum of the obligatory five prayers. But then we have another hadith that says, my servant, a hadith Qudsi, that Allah says, my servant will always get closer to me through doing more and more good deeds. More and more nafl, extra prayers at night, extra fasting, until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, until I love him, and I become the hand by which he sees, the hand by which he grasps, the vision by which he sees, the hearing by which he hears. Meaning that all of that servant's actions are in accordance to what Allah's will. It doesn't mean that the person becomes one with Allah, a'udhu billah. This is a misinterpretation of the hadith. It means that all of his limbs will be in obedience to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the other extreme, the nawafil. But the sunnah is in between. There's the bare minimum, but the Prophet ﷺ didn't stop at that. He did more than that. He did the nawafil, the sunnah, but he didn't spend all of his time only doing the nawafil. He also took time to sleep. He took time to spend time with his wives. He took time to break his fast. So this is the balanced way of the Prophet ﷺ. أَنَا أُصَلِّي وَأَنَامِ. So the way of the Prophet ﷺ was to pray part of the night and to sleep part of the night. He didn't stay up the entire night in prayer, but he slept part of the night. And in a hadith he said, indeed your body has a right on you. The body has a right. It has a need for sleep during the night time. And as some of the doctors, they said that during the night, there's an hour during the night where a certain chemical is released from the body. That sleep is so beneficial and healthy for the person that if he slept the entire day, he would not get the benefit of sleep during that part of the night. Because the body, there's a certain part of the night where the body, it has that relaxation, and Allah created the night for rest. So a person abandoning the staying up the entire night and sleeping all day, unfortunately during Ramadan, a lot of people, they do that, stay up the whole night and they sleep all the day, then they miss out on that beneficial sleep, and it's not from the sunnah to stay up the entire night. Unless somebody has work and they have to work at night, then they're excused in that case. And so the Prophet ﷺ, he warned against this type of extremism in practice, where somebody, he overburdens himself, he tries to do more than his body can bear. He denies himself from marriage. And this is why this hadith is mentioned in the chapter of marriage. That if a person, they deliberately abandon marriage, thinking that it's an act of worship, then they're doing a sin. Does that mean that marriage is obligatory? Every person has to get married? What do you think? It doesn't mean marriage is obligatory. Because somebody might not get married, but he doesn't think that he's doing something good. He doesn't think that it's an act of worship. But he doesn't get married because he doesn't have the means, he doesn't have the desire, then he's excused in that. Some of the great ulama, they didn't get married. I believe Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he didn't get married. Other great scholars, they didn't get married. But if somebody abandons marriage thinking that it's a way of getting closer to Allah, what they call monasticism, like in Christianity they used to, they have the priest, they don't get married, and they think it's closer to God and closer to piety. The nuns, they don't get married. So this is what is forbidden in Islam, thinking that abandoning marriage is a way of getting closer to Allah. The Prophet ﷺ said, I have more piety than you, and I marry women. So marriage of women does not contradict ubudiyyah to Allah and servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet ﷺ, he married from the women. And marriage can be an ibadah and a form of worship. And having the marital relationship can be a source of ajr, because doing it in a way that is outside of marriage would result in sin. So getting married is a source of ajr, but getting married is not obligatory. However, abandoning it, thinking that one will be closer to piety, be like the angels, that is an innovation that leads away from the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. So his way was the middle way. وَصُومُ وَأُفْطِرُ. And I fast and I break my fast. Some of the Sahaba, they thought that if they continued fasting 2 or 3 days in a row, that it would be more piety. That they wouldn't break their fast for several days in a row. And the Prophet ﷺ, he forbade that. He forbade that type of fasting. And it was only allowed for him because he had a special status where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fed him and gave him to drink. He said that, you are not like me. Allah gives me food and drink. He told the Sahaba, you are not like me. He could fast many days in a row because Allah provided him some type of nourishment. Does this mean that Allah gave him food to eat and drink while he was fasting? Physically eating food? Then he wouldn't be fasting, right? So what it meant is something else, some kind of strength that Allah gave him that normal other people did not have. So he forbade continuously fasting. And from the sunnah is to hasten breaking the fast. If the time for sunset is in, then a person should hasten to break the fast and not to delay it more and more, thinking that it's closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's not from the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the third thing, and here from these teachings, beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, we realize that Islam is a deen of haqq. Because the truth is always follows the middle path. And people who are on misguidance, they go to one of two extremes. Either laxity, where they don't want to do any of the practices of the deen, or they go to the other extreme, overcompensating, and then they go to another extreme where they overburden themselves. And we read 17 times a day in the Quran a warning against the two forms of extremism in Surah Al-Fatiha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He taught us to read in the Fatiha, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Lead us on the straight path. صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنَّعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ. The path of those whom you have bestowed your blessings, your ni'mah. Not those who مَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ, who earned your anger or who went astray. What is this middle path? The middle path is al-Islam. And who are the two extremes? The Yahud and the Nasara, as it is said in the tafsir. غَيْرَ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ, those who earned Allah's anger, they are the ones who inclined completely towards the dunya. And they thought of trickery to get around the ubudiyah. They didn't even want to do what was required of them. You're not allowed to fish on Saturday. They put the nets on Friday and collected the fish on Sunday because the fish came up. They thought of tricks to get away from the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're not allowed to use the fat of the animals. So what they do, they didn't eat the fat, but they melted it, made candles, and sold the candles and benefited from the price of those fat that was forbidden for the Bani Israel. So the Bani Israel, they tried to get out of worship. They didn't even want to even do with the bare minimum that was required. They tried to get ways around it. So this is one extreme, and they earned the ghadab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They knew, but they didn't follow what they had. The knowledge they had, they inclined completely towards the dunya. And then we have the other extreme, وَلَضَّانِينَ, those who worshipped Allah without knowledge. They raised Isa alayhi salam to the level of divinity and worshipped him, Jesus alayhi salam, and they did that without knowledge, without any huda from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in doing so, they abandoned the dunya completely, and they didn't marry, and they didn't take anything from the dunya. And they said that we should go away in monasteries and worship all alone and abandon the dunya. So they went beyond what was required of worship. And they went to the other extreme of worshipping more than what was incumbent upon them and leaving the halal that Allah had made permissible for them. And so we see the balanced nature of Islam. Isa alayhi salam, Jesus, we respect him as the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who was born in a miraculous birth. He's a prophet, he's a rightly guided prophet, and we love him and respect him, but we do not worship him. The Yahud, they said that he's an illegitimate child and a false prophet. And they rejected him, and in fact, plotted to kill him. So that's one extreme. And then the other extreme, the Nasara, they raised him to the level of God himself. And they said that he's a partner with God that should be worshipped alongside God. So one extreme, they said he's a false prophet and he's rejected. The other extreme, they raise him to the level of God himself. In Islam, it follows the middle pathway. That Isa alayhi salam, he's the rightly guided prophet of Allah. He's not God, the divine, as the Christian people say. And he's not a false prophet as the Yahud, the Jewish people, they claim. So this shows you, this hadith, in summary, beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, It teaches us the importance of adhering to the Sunnah in all affairs, and that anybody who goes to extremes, he is not from the Prophet ﷺ, فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي, he is not from me. Somebody who doesn't follow his Sunnah, say somebody abandons marriage, thinking he's getting closer to Allah, or somebody prays the whole night. So he is not from, لَيْسَ مِنِّي, he is not from me. So what does it mean he is not from me? Does it mean they're no longer Muslim? They're still Muslim, right? They're still Muslim. What? I'm sorry, brother? That's right, very good. They're not a true follower of the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad. When he says, Laysa minni, Laysa min man yattabi' sunnati. They're not from those who are following my Sunnah. They are going away from my Sunnah. And so it's a warning for people that they should not deviate from the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ as previous nations did. They deviated from the Sunnah of their Anbiya, and they went to one extreme or the other, and they ended up going to extremes in their religion, and the religion overwhelmed them in the end. So here, فَمَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي, we learn from this hadith that marriage is from the Sunnah. It's not required to get married unless one fears that he will commit zina, and he has the ability to marry, and he knows that he will do the sin, then he should get married. But generally speaking, it is a sunnah of the Anbiya, a sunnah of the prophets to get married, and person they can earn reward in following the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, even if it is in matters of the dunya, if they intend by that to strengthen themselves to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even in the marriage relationship, even in eating and drinking, there is a reward for a person if he intends by that to enable him to worship Allah in a balanced way. And this is the verse in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when they were advising Qarun, his advisor said to him, seek the reward of the akhirah, وَلَا تَنْسَى نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. وَبَتَغِي دَارَ الْآخِرَةِ, seek after the life, the afterlife. Make that your goal. Make your goal the akhirah. But do not forget your portion of the dunya. And what does it mean, don't forget your portion of the dunya? Does it mean we need Porsches and Lamborghinis and mansions? And is that what is meant here? Ibn Abbas, he clarified that some people misinterpret this ayah. What it means is don't forget your portion of the dunya that you need to reach the akhirah. The portion of the dunya that is needed to achieve the akhirah. Without the dunya, without the marriage, how would we have children? And who would propagate Islam after us? Without a house, how could, or a masjid, how could we worship? Without strength, how could we spread Islam? So the portion of the dunya, we need this portion of the dunya to achieve our akhirah. So that is what is encouraged. And Imam Ahmad, he criticized those people who used to wear always harsh clothing and rough clothing and say we're never going to eat meat and we're going to be ascetic from the dunya. He criticized them, saying that these people, they are going to an extreme where they're abandoning the things that Allah made halal and making haram what Allah made halal. So the abandoning the dunya is not from the teachings of Islam. But following the middle way, the balanced way of Islam, is the perfect way. And we repeat it every day in our Salah, in our Surah Al-Fatiha, reminding ourselves to neither extreme of indulging in the dunya and abandoning the worship of Allah, and also abandoning the dunya and spending all of the time only in acts of worship and ibadat. So this is the hadith for today, inshaAllah ta'ala. The hadith is agreed upon by the two imams, the Shaykhan. Who are the two Shaykhs? The two imams, you don't even need to mention their names because they're so great in knowledge, Bukhari and Muslim. That means there's no doubt about the hadith. Hadith is from the agreed upon texts, which means that it's absolutely correct and authentic, attributed to Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the advice for his ummah to hold on to his sunnah, inshaAllah ta'ala. So may Allah bless you all with beneficial knowledge, inshaAllah ta'ala. Wa jazakum Allahu khayran. وصلى الله على محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم. والله